I see trees of green. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do? They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I never knew. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What do you see? When you look out at this great big world, do you see the same things Louis Armstrong sees? Or do you see something different, something less appealing, less desirable, less noble, less beautiful, less wonderful? Today, United Methodists all across the city of Syracuse begin a new journey together each Sunday morning for the next 12 weeks. We will build our worship experiences around the same passages of Scripture so that even if the pastors, the preachers rotate from Sunday to Sunday, there will be continuity of theme as we carry on worship over the course of this fall. Starting today, we will retell the ancient stories that have been passed down to us like sacred treasures. We will revisit these ancient stories, starting with the story of creation, how the world came to be, in order to let those stories shape our approach to and understanding of life, for that is what it means to be people of faith, to take our cues about how to live in the world, not from our own ideas, but from the stories of God and God's work in the world, as found in the pages of the Bible, our primary storybook. These stories provide answers to the key questions we all ask as human beings, starting with today's questions. Where did the world come from? Where did we come from? Where did anything come from? The Bible's answer is clear and unequivocal. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. What did God create? Everything. Everything that you and I can see and touch, and more, everything that we can't see and can't touch. The Bible takes it a step further by telling us that God created it and then called it all good. As persons of faith, our basic stance in life begins right there. We are called to join God in seeing the world as fundamentally and essentially good. Now, we're not naive or Pollyannish. We know that the world can be cruel and harsh and terrifying and unforgiving, and we'll begin to address that piece of reality next Sunday. But today we begin by declaring that the world at its heart is beautiful and wonderful and good, the product of a loving and beneficent Creator. Brian McLaren summarizes it this way in his book, We Make the Road by Walking, saying, Genesis tells us that the universe is good, a truth so important it gets repeated like the theme of a song. Rocks are good, clouds are good, sweet corn is good, every river or hill or valley or forest is good. Skin? Good. Bone? Good. Mating and eating and breathing and giving birth and growing old? Good, good, good. All are good. Life is good. This is something we choose to believe or not. Something we choose to accept or not accept. And it makes all the difference in how we live our lives, how we deal with other people, how we read the news, how we spend our money, how we raise our children, how we run our church, how we deal with change and uncertainty. When Jesus of Nazareth arrives on the scene, he cuts to the quick by describing two basic ways of human existence. One of fear and worry and anxiety, where every day is a constant battle, trying to get ahead or at least to protect and preserve what we already have. Or one in which we lay all that aside, placing our ultimate trust and loyalty not in ourselves, but in ever watchful, kind, and generous God. We have to constantly choose between these two contrasting approaches to life in our personal lives, in our homes, in our relationships, even in our church. And Dr. Jesus reminds us that none of our worrying and none of our anxiousness can add a single breath or measure or anything to our lives. In fact, they shorten and lessen our lives. When I left here back in June to start my sabbatical, some of you heard this, I apologize, but I went off for 2 weeks of summer intensive classes at a Lutheran seminary in Columbus, Ohio, focusing in on the topic healthy congregations. I went there to learn every trick, every tip, every technique, every tool I could possibly find that I could come back and lead not just this congregation, but all of the city congregations toward growing healthiness, the ability to thrive and to be alive. And in the very first class, the professor cut me to my knees. For what she wanted me and everybody else in the class to understand is that there are no shortcuts, no quick fixes, no easy answers. That what really matters is the quality of our relationships, how we live together in families and in church families. I've seen enough churches to know there is a difference, and perhaps you have too. Churches that know how to face stress and worry and adversity and to bear up in the face of all that, to find a calm center and the ability to work together toward a new future, and churches that simply crumble in the face of stress and uncertainty and resort to pointing fingers and blaming and accusing. And I have been there. I will admit that over my years there have been times in which churches have struggled and been in conflict with one another, and there has been in my head that little voice saying, you know, if we could just get so-and-so to leave the church, to convince them that there really is a better church for them down the road somewhere. If we could just get rid of them, everything would be fine. And it doesn't work that way. Because we are the body. And even if we push one part of the body away, we're still the rest of us the same people. And the hard work of healthy congregations begins as each of us in our own way takes responsibility for acting and praying and thinking and caring and doing in ways that respect and care for and love each other. The choice about how to live our life begins right here in the first pages of the book of the Bible, that we are invited to join the Creator in looking in every direction we possibly can and daring to believe that no matter what, it is good and beautiful. And as we proceed this fall, and as we move forward with the uncertainty that faces us as a congregation and as a group of congregations, I invite us to do one or two or possibly three things. First of all, when the stress and the distress mount, go back to the beginning and remember that it's still God's world and it's still good. And when the stress and distress continue to push in on us, if that's not enough, then to turn to Dr. Jesus and to remember that all of our fussing and fuming and fighting and stress raising and blood pressure raising don't help a bit. And if those don't do it for you, then at least hum a few bars with Louis Armstrong. What a wonderful world. What a wonderful world.